Hello, everybody. You are listening to Corpse Run Radio. This is Ian Hazzikostas, and enjoy.
Ours is a podcast of the Forsaken. I am your leader, the Banshee Queen, the Dark Lady, and you are listening to Corpse Run Radio.
This is Corpse Run Radio.
We are the Forsaken.
We are the Forsaken.
Welcome to episode 38 of Corpse Run Radio. I am Grant Negus, your host, and I hope you'll enjoy this episode. Since patch 8.0 is right around the corner, maybe even a week away, we've got Hazel to start us off today, and she's going to tell us about 12 cool things coming in patch 8.0. And that is not the expansion launch, it's the pre-patch that's coming in 1 or 2 weeks. So this is not exclusive to, and you need not buy or pre-order the expansion to have access to the content or some of the content that she talks about. So now, without further ado, here's Hazel with 12 cool things coming in patch 8.0.
Hi, I'm Hazel, and today we're taking a look at 12 cool things that are coming to WoW in patch 8.0. So 8.0 is the upcoming Battle for Azeroth pre-patch, and we're expecting it pretty soon. Probably not on July the 4th, because that's the July the 4th, and that's like an America thing. But July the 11th is looking pretty good, with July the 18th being the second most likely bet. Some of these are pretty cool, while others may make you say not cool, but in any case, these are 12 of the biggest changes coming in 8.0. We're gonna start out with the least fun and then count our way down to the coolest things, so prepare to start feeling kinda cranky and then hopefully feel better by the end. Number 12 is the item level squish. This has happened before and it is happening again. If you played WoW back in the Warlords of Draenor pre-patch, you will remember this debacle, and we're basically just having it happen all over again. Tuning is going to be kind of wonky for a couple of weeks, that's just expected. You and everything else is going to have way less health. Your item level is going to be down probably below 250, and expect some things to one-shot you that really have no business one-shotting you until they've been fixed. If you're feeling really hurt in your heart that you're not doing a million damage per second anymore, consider just switching to percentages on mob health and your health instead of exact numbers just for a little bit, and if those are still not going down as fast as you want to, then you can be mad. A lot of the item level squish tuning has been done with level 120 in mind, so the 110 couple of weeks of pre-patch is just a wonky, magical time, and we're all gonna get through it together. Number 11 is the pet charm change. Starting in patch 8.0, your pet charms will not be pet charms, they will now be shiny pet charms, so on one hand, they are shinier. But the downside of that is that you will no longer be able to use them to purchase quality or level upgrade stones. You will only be able to use shiny pet charms to purchase current and old pets and toys, the collectibles. The upgrade stones, such as the ultimate battle training stone, will be purchasable for polished pet charms, which you can get in BFA. So just make sure that you are periodically spending any of your existing pet charms just in case the patch catches you by surprise and you end up with like 8,000 of those things that you can't spend on anything that you don't already have. Number 10 is your artifact traits, including your relic traits from the Netherlight Crucible, are all going to be disabled. The artifact retirement questline is actually available to play on live servers right now, but before the pre-patch, that actually boosts your traits way up and will continue to ramp up until the pre-patch lands, at which time it's all going away. You will still have the actual weapon if you're worried about what you're gonna hit stuff with. It will still have a relatively juicy amount of item level, but none of the traits will work. All of your void tendrils and your sneaky snakes and all that kind of stuff is just gone, which is probably disappointing, but maybe you never liked those sneaky snakes. Maybe you never trusted them anyways. You can live a sneaky snake-free life, unless they're in the class changes or the talents. I didn't actually look that closely at BM Hunter. Number 9, speaking of class changes, there's going to be a ton of class changes. There are lots of talent swaps and new talents and talents being taken out, things that are being put on the GCD, and probably nothing really going off the GCD. It's mostly stuff moving on at the GCD. Some buttons are coming back, some buttons are leaving, and some buttons will do different things than they used to. If you log on in 8.0 and you're feeling a little lost, it's okay, because so is everybody else, and we're all going to figure out how to press all of our buttons again together. Some spells are also getting new updated visual effects, including a lot of warlock stuff and Shadowform. form, and Druid Bear form has a slightly new skeleton inside, so the animations are going to look a little different when you're walking and also hitting things with your bear paws. Number 8, personal loot is the only loot. Starting in 8.0, there is no more group loot, there is no more free-for-all, there is no more round robin. What were the other ones? I don't remember. No more master loot, it's really just personal loot. All dungeons, all raids, even mythic raids, personal loot for everybody. I hope you like personal loot because it's happening. The loot mode option from the drop-down menu is just gone because there is only one option. It's not ideal for everybody, but you can't say that it's not fair. Number 7, speaking of loot, legacy loot mode is going into effect in patch 8.0. So what that is in any content that is 10 levels or greater below your level, when you go in, you'll be able to pick up all of the personal loot that would have dropped for a full group. So 5 people's worth of personal loot in a 5-man dungeon. If it's a flexible raid size difficulty, you will get 20 people's worth of loot. All of that goes to you regardless of whether or not you would normally be able to personally loot it. This works out to a fair bit more loot when soloing old raids for transmog, so, you know, that's good news. We're excited. Number 6 is the new PvP honor system. So in 8.0, prestige is becoming account-wide. All of your honor levels from all of your characters will merge into one brand new prestige level that will then be able to be progressed account-wide on any character. It's just one overall account level, just like it is in Overwatch. And also similar to Overwatch, they just keep going. It's not something that you're supposed to finish. I don't think that you can. Those levels just keep going and going and going, and there are only cosmetic rewards associated with that honor system, just cosmetic stuff. The earlier levels will have the same cosmetic rewards that we had from the Legion prestige system, so if you don't have those yet, you'll be able to get them through the honor system. And then there are new cosmetic rewards for when you get higher up in honor levels, so you'll be able to start grinding away at that as soon as 8.0 hits. There is a new conquest system as well that gives you endgame gear at 120. Number 5, speaking of PvP, war mode is going into effect in patch 8.0, so no longer will you be bound by the decision that you made years ago when you decided to pick either a PvE or a PvP server. They are all one and the same now, and you can choose whether or not you would like to engage in world PvP by just turning war mode on or off. So you have to do that in Stormwind or Orgrimmar. You can't do it in the new cities, you can't do it in Dalaran, you can't do it out in the world. You must go to either Stormwind or Orgrimmar. If you like to live dangerously, you can turn war mode on, and if you're more of an I've got better things to do kind of person, you can just turn it off and leave it off forever. That's really up to you. This toggle is available on every server type, and it is beautifully, completely voluntary. Number 4 is communities and the new guild user interface. So if you have ever used Discord, this is basically Discord, but stripped down and then put directly into WoW. In addition to your guild, if you like, you can also join multiple communities. So there are World of Warcraft communities that are limited to just your faction and include things like calendar events and quick join, and then there are wider Blizzard communities where you invite people by their battle tag, and those are cross-faction, cross-game, you know, chat with your dudes wherever they happen to be. Number 3 is the Burning of Teldrassil and the Battle for Lordaeron. So we have two story-driven scenarios as well as some world quests, outdoor content kind of surrounding them. The Burning of Teldrassil will have some story quests leading up to it, and the Battle for Lordaeron won't be available until a week before BFA launches, according to a recent interview, so that one will be in the pre-patch, but not right away in the pre-patch. Between the two of those, that's basically our pre-expansion event, kind of taking the place of the Legion invasions that we had before Legion actually launched. Number 2, and you might be more excited about this if you happen to play one of these races, but there are new barbershop options, specifically upright orcs and golden-eyed blood elves. So it's going to be a magical day where half of the orc population of Azeroth all straightens up at once. That's not just a Maghar orc thing. That's going to be available to any orc out there. And with the size of the shoulders, the pauldrons, it's probably really best to have some support. Finally, number 1 thing that I am most excited for that is going to be available in patch 8.0 is the new collecting meta achievements right along with their rewards. So some of these will be attainable right when 8.0 comes out, and some of them you'll need to wait to get some of the new collectibles from BFA before you can finally tick over the line. But if you have 350 mounts usable on one character, you will get the Frost Shard Infernal. If you have 400 mounts usable on one character, you will get the Frenzied Fel Talon. If you got yourself 400 toys, you're going to have Brutus the Battle Pet. If you got yourself 800 battle pets, you're going to get Rooter. And then, I don't think you can yet, but once you get 1,000 battle pets, you can have Hearthy. And it's just so exciting. There's also a couple of rep ones. For 90 exalted reps, you get an achievement, but no reward. But if you get to 100 exalted reputations, you will get the Pure Heart Courser and the esteemed Your Name title for 100 exalted reputations. And that really makes me wish that reputations were a count. wide, but they're not, so I hope you've been grinding your reps on one character, because I certainly haven't. Before I wrap it up, a bonus thing that didn't make it in the list, because who wants to click on a 13 things list? That's just unlucky, and also it's not that exciting, but in 8.0 and beyond, character names in any chat channel will appear in their class colors. So you can tell if that person that you're arguing with in trade chat is a warlock or a demon hunter or a monk or a rogue or an anything, really. It's in the class color. It's right there. Many add-ons have done that in the past, but if you were like me and you didn't have any of those add-ons, you might notice that things get a little more colorful over in the chat log. So those are the big changes that are coming in patch 8.0. Reminder that once 8.0 hits, you will no longer be able to get a number of things, including the field medic title, including your mage tower appearances. You're really kind of running out of time, so if you are trying to do those things, please, please, please do them now. Otherwise, you just won't be able to. They're going away. Thank you so much for watching. Let me know what you think. Like and subscribe to see more videos and WoW live streams here on YouTube from me. And I hope that you have a wonderful, wonderful day. Bye.
Yeah, I've been waiting for a group like you, and I'm ready to cleave a fiery strike. And I can give 10-second debuffs to my fulminating pulse to spread or die. Watch out, ranged and melee. Is pain. I know you came in thinking you'd get loot, but the Shivaro will make you wait. Come on into our room.
I know you want it.
Coven, keep it the loot.
I'll let you have it.
Titans gonna be getting corrupted. Titans are gonna be
hey.
Coven, keep us apart.
Or you can't damage.
Or you'll wipe. Ooh, I know you came in thinking you'd get loot, but the Shivaro will make you work.
Come on into our room.
I know you want it.
Coven, keep in the loop.
I'll let you have it.
Titans gonna be getting corrupted.
Titans are gonna be
hey.
Coven, keep us apart.
Or you can't damage.
Or you'll wipe.
Heels try talking, but everyone's stopping like, hey, nut. Might have a frost, you've already lost, cause you can't get across in the darkness. Titan, stormitant, coven, resident, your raid, prevented, limited. And when you get the Titan, you'll see C4 nor Ganon. Spread out for Ganon, but then send those ants to their death. Cats go rock out the center, all month food can't prevent her. Stun, but if that cat gets stacks, then it'll be a raid ender. C to the O, to the V, to the H, to the
Kakalasin!
To the O, to the V, to the H, to the N.
I know you can't.
That was Silver Latomi singing about our all-time favorite Antares fight, Coven, featuring Ember Assaulte and Siren. Next up, we have Noble 87 with his story of Varrok Sarfang, one of the important lore characters in the upcoming Battle for Azeroth. And this is part one of two, so look forward to the second part in our next episode. Here is Noble 87.
Hey Hello everyone. Verok Sourfang, or Sourfang as it's supposed to be pronounced, is a legend amongst the Horde, and a lot hold him in high regard. But why exactly is that? What has the journey been for this orc, and where might it take him? That's what we're going to be talking about today. Like most orcs, Sourfang's story begins on a little planet called Draenor, where he grew up within the Blackrock clan, found a mate whose name has not been revealed, and had a child called Draenosh. You might have heard the tale of his brother Broxigar, who sacrificed himself and stood against none other than Sargeras himself. This is a family of badasses. But the orcs were molded and forged amidst the fires of a vengeful crusade between the Eredar and the Draenei. Sargeras had shown up at the world of Argus to offer them a place within the Legion, to which Archimon and Kil'jaeden, they willingly accepted, but Prophet Velen knew that this was not the way. He gathered those that he could, and he fled from the homeworld, something that Kil'jaeden took very personal, and he set out to track and exterminate the Draenei. Across the Great Dark Beyond, their journey eventually led to them crashing and landing on Draenor, where for a while, the orcs and the Draenei, they kept a distance from each other, and they just let each other be. That all changed when Kil'jaeden figured out where the Draenei had been hiding, and he figured that he could use the orcs to do his dirty work and kill the Draenei for him. Through Gul'dan, they worked on manipulating the orcs, making them believe that the Draenei were not that innocent, actually their enemy, aimed at destroying them. They needed to strike out first, unite the different clans, and rally together under one single leader, rally together as the Horde. It was Blackhand that was appointed to be the warchief, and he took charge of the Horde. Begrudgingly or not, the clans gradually accepted Blackhand's rule and settled into the roles in the Horde. To maintain order and discipline in his armies, Blackhand made sure to surround himself with mighty lieutenants. The greatest of them were Eitrick, Orgrim Doomhammer, and of course, Varok Sourfang. Each of them would have made a successful chieftain in their own right, but for now, they followed Blackhand's lead, or, well, in truth, actually Gul'dan's lead, as the war against the Draenei unfolded. The orcs embraced the powers of the Fel instead of the elements. They magically aged their children to increase the numbers of their troops, and eventually took in the blood of Manaroth, which made them incredibly powerful, but also bound to the Legion. With demon blood pumping through their veins, the orcs murdered every Draenei man, woman, and child that they could find. Many lives were lost, but Velen and some of the people were able to hide away within the Zanga Marsh, away from the Horde's deadly grasp. Despite Kil'jaeden's burning wish to see Velen dead, he informed Sargeras about the orcs, and in them, the Lord of the Burning Legion, he saw an opportunity. He had set his eyes on a little planet called Azeroth, and he wanted to use the orcs to weaken the world's defenses and make it easier for the Legion to take the planet. For now though, they just needed to let the Horde suffer for a little bit, as they were still high on the rush of victory, and Sargeras needed them to be desperate. Desperate enough to step through the Dark Portal, if that meant their survival. So it was that the promised power to Gul'dan was never delivered by Kil'jaeden, and the use of fel magic that tainted the Legion, it had done incredible damage to the planet of Draenor. The orcs had been able to conquer most of it, but the land had dried out, food and water were very hard to find, and the orcs started to turn on each other. Years passed until finally Sargeras knew that the time was right. He made contact with Gul'dan, and he showed him this world of Azeroth, a world with plenty of food, water, and enough enemies for the Horde to sate their bloodlusts. So it was that they worked on creating the Dark Portal. But before they stepped through it, Sourfang made a promise to his mate before she died that he would cross the Dark Portal alone. Whether he lived or died, their son would be safe and would remain untainted. The corruption of Fel, it did not only change the planet, it also changed the orcs, whose skin had slowly started to turn green. Even those who did not directly use the Fel themselves, they were still affected by it by simply being near it. Now orcs, like Garrosh Hellscream and Draenor Sourfang, they maintained their original brown color since they were kept away from the mess, staying with the Elders of Sharadar. Sourfang would not let the warlocks take him. His boy would be safe as he joined his warchief Blackhand through the Dark Portal and into the first Orcish Horde invasion of Azeroth.
Now, Gul'dan's horde will sweep across this world like a locust swarm, and all my designs, all my carefully laid plans, will at last fall into place.
Over time, Orgrim Doomhammer eventually found out what had been going on with the Legion, what had been going on with Gul'dan, and even his warchief Blackhand. This pushed him into challenging his warchief to Makura, a duel to the death to claim leadership of the Horde, a duel which Orgrim actually won. He was hell-bent on steering the Horde back to their more honorable ways, away from all this corruption. Yet all the same, they still needed to conquer the planet, since the old home, that would surely mean death. With this change of leadership, Orgrim decided to make Sourfang his second in command. He had seen his efficient and brutal tactics on the battlefield. By this point, he had led forces in the sacking of Shephreth, Stormwind, and everything in between, never losing a battle, so definitely a great orc to have at your side. The Horde marched on, and with the survivors of Stormwind fleeing to the lands of Lordaeron, the Alliance of Lordaeron eventually rose up to fight back against this alien invading force. But the Horde, they also rallied its numbers by adding Death Knights to the ranks and making a pact with the Imani Trolls. Now their leader Zul'jin, he'd been taken captive by the humans, and if Orgrim would help them with liberating him, they would aid the Horde in this war. This was a great boon, of course. The Imani Trolls, they knew the land far better than the Orcs did. So the pact was made, and Orgrim moved out to earn the Imani's support. He ordered the bulk of the Horde to turn east. Now his trusted lieutenant Varrok Saurfang, he commanded a rearguard of Blackrock Orcs to waylay the Alliance. This gave the rest of the Horde precious time to cross Hillsbrett and funnel through a narrow mountain pass into a region known as the Hinterlands. So Saurfang stayed behind, while the rest of the Horde, they pushed on. And then there's a little bit of a gap in Saurfang's story. We know for certain that the Horde was eventually defeated by the Alliance, and it doesn't appear like Saurfang went running back through the Dark Portal or hung out within Blackrock Mountain. Which means that he either survived in the wilds all on his own, like someone like Eitrick did, or he was captured and placed within the Alliance internment camps. All the same, a few years later, an orc by the name of Thrall, he would rise up and break not only his own chains of enslavement, but also liberate the captive orcs and reform the Horde. The events of Warcraft 3 played out, with the Horde allying against the Burning Legion, presumably with Saurfang also amongst their ranks. Gromash Hellscream, together with Thrall at his side, they took on the Pit Lord Manoroth, and while Gromash did not live to see it, they were able to set the people free from their demonic curse.
Thrall, the blood haze has lifted. The demon's fire has burnt out in my veins. I have freed myself. No, old friend. You freed us all.
The demon blood pumping in their veins, it no longer held control over them, which was of course a great thing, but it also created a bit of a new problem, since now many of the orcs had to face the atrocities they committed. The winter, after the curse was lifted, hundreds of veteran orcs were lost to despair. Their minds were finally free. Free to relive all the unthinkable acts that they had performed under the Legion's influence. Varrok helped dozens of veterans come to grips with what they've done, ultimately saving the lives of many Great Horde soldiers, but even he is still haunted by his actions. The sound of swine being killed when they're ready for slaughter, it reminds him of the death screams of the children. Despite the memories of the past haunting him, Saurfang still stands on the battlefield whenever it's needed. He stood with Thrall in the Valley of Strength during Classic, and that's where he really earned his high status amongst the Horde players, getting his reputation up, as the Alliance, they would come in and try to kill the leader, only to find out that Saurfang doesn't take prisoners, and was often more difficult to deal with than any of the other leaders. Critting him would activate Saurfang's rage, his eyes would glow red, and ask you, "Is that the best you can do?" just before one-shotting you, because the damage was just insane. Alliance could also mind control him, giving him access to his execute ability with a full rage bar, and the jokes, they just kept coming. Very similar to Hogger and Gammon, for example, Saurfang got his whole list of Chuck Norris jokes. Some of them were even picked up and acknowledged by Blizzard. He became a fan favorite, and despite a small bit of a story missing, he has done some pretty badass things. Of course, he didn't just stand there next to Thrall, he also accepted heroes to come in and deliver the head of Onyxia and the head of Nefarian, screaming at the top of his lungs, acknowledging their glorious deeds of slaying these dragons. Then, during the opening of Ankaraj, he stood there as the supreme commander of the Might of Kalimdor, leading the forces of both the Alliance and the Horde in the war effort against Khafun, the Karazhi, and the Silifids. "I am Saurfang, brother of Broxigar. You know me to be the supreme commander of the Might of Kalimdor. An orc, a true orc warrior, wishes for one thing, to die in glory of battle against the hated enemy. Some of you have fought in battles. Peace has been with us for many years. Many years we sat idle, but many years we battled. In those years, where Strife, the Land, and Legion and Scourge sacked our homes, killed our families, these insects dwell beneath us. Beneath our homes, waiting. Waiting to crush the life from our little ones. To slay all in their path. This they do for their god. And for our gods, we defend. We stand. We show that as one, united, we destroy. Their god will fall.
To die today on this field of battle is to die an orcish death. To die today is to die for our little ones, our old ones, our loved ones. Would any of you deny yourself such a death, such an honor? And many did die in that war, but through our great sacrifices, we were able to stop much worse from happening, and Saurfang returned home to Orgrimmar. In time, the Dark Portal would reopen with the Burning Crusade. He himself didn't return to Outland, but some of the orcs that were left behind, like Garrosh, son of Grum, and Dranosh, son of Saurfang, they did reunite with the Horde. A good thing too, as their strength would soon be needed in the war against the Lich King. The Scourge struck out at both the Alliance and the Horde, but Saurfang was there to help defend Orgrimmar. So foolish to try and take on Saurfang. Now the choice was made to lead a campaign into the cold heart of Northrend itself, to deal with the Scourge and Arvis the Lich King. Garrosh Hellscream, he's joined by Saurfang, who offers him advice throughout the campaign, since the son of Grum, much like his father, he's quite the hothead. He believes that all they need to win is the warrior spirit of the Horde, crush all that stand in their way. But Saurfang, he has learned much over the years, and he can see that the blood of Grum runs strong in Garrosh. Grommash and Saurfang, they both drank from the blood of Manoroth, which led them down a very dark path. He will not let Garrosh take them down that road again, with the promise of Saurfang to kill him before that day comes. Foreshadowing. Now, as the campaign went on, we eventually made ready to assault the Wrath Gates, with both our Four Dragon leading the charge with the Alliance, and Dranosh Saurfang quickly joining with the Gorkron Vanguard, as he's been appointed to command them by his father.
Rise up, sons of the Horde! Blood and glory await us! For the Horde!
I was wondering if you'd show up.
I couldn't let the Alliance have all the fun today.
Arthas! The blood of your father, of your people, demands justice! Come forth, coward, and answer for your crimes!
You speak of justice, of cowardice. I will show you the justice of the grave and the true meaning. Fear.
Enough talk! Let it be finished!
Frostmourne shatters Dranosh's weapon and claims his soul. Saurfang lost his son that day. But the rest of the forces, they would not fare much better, as Sylvanas is betrayed by Varimafras and Apothecary Putris. Her developed plague is unleashed upon all the forces present, and our attention is now focused on the battle for the Undercity to take care of this threat within the Horde. Jaina and Varian, they take care of Putris, while Fra and Sylvanas, they deal with Varimafras, but Varian isn't too happy with the Horde. They lost a whole lot of people by working together at the Wrath Gates. Bolvar Fordragon, longtime friend of Varian, lost his life to this betrayal, and he is ready
to make things right. To disband your treacherous kingdom of murderers and thieves. Putris was the first strike. Many more will come.
But Jaina disagrees, freezes all in place, and teleports them out. Everything that Vral tried to accomplish between the Alliance and the Horde has been shattered.
All that we have fought for in this world is lost. The hopes and dreams carried by my father and mother, by Doomhammer, gone. If only you were here right now, old friend, you would know what to do. I know what he would do. He would say to you, Thrall, lead your people. Let's go home, old friend. It's good to have you back, Varrok, old friend. I'm sorry about your boy.
Gorkron were left behind to keep an eye on the place, but the campaign against the Lich King is far from over, and after selecting the greatest heroes that the Alliance and the Horde had to offer, it was time to assault Icecrown Citadel and deal with the Lich King once and for all. Inside, we actually discovered that Bolvar IV Dragon was still alive and was currently being tormented by the Lich King.
The Paladin still lives? Is it possible, High Lord? Could he have survived?
The power of the light knows no bounds, Sarfang. His soul is under great strain, but he lives. For now.
Then we must save him. If we rescue Bolvar IV Dragon, we may quell the unrest between the Alliance and the Horde.
In their enthusiasm to save Bolvar and quell the unrest, the Alliance and Horde decide to have a little battle in the sky, with Muradin and Sourfang pushing their forces to blowing each other out of the sky. I don't believe that they've actually appointed an official winner in the lore for this battle, which means that we have two scenarios to play out. One is where the Horde comes out as the victor, and Sourfang discovers what the Lich King has done with his boy.
Gorkron, move out! Champions, watch your backs! The Scourge have been caught!
Join me! Father, join me and we will crush this world in the name of the Scourge, for the glory of the Lich King.
My boy died at the Wrathgate. I am here only to collect his body.
Stubborn and old, what chance do you have? I am stronger and more powerful than you ever were.
We named him Dranosh. It means Heart of Draenor in Orcish. I would not let the warlocks take him. My boy would be safe, hidden away by the elders of Garadar. I made a promise to his mother before she died that I would cross the dark portal alone. Whether I lived or died, my son would be safe, untainted. Today, I fulfill that promise.
Pathetic, old orc. Come then, heroes. Come and face the might of the Scourge. By the might of the Lich King. I am released.
You will have a proper ceremony in Nagrand, next to the pyres of your mother and ancestors. Honor, young heroes, no matter how dire the battle. Never forsake it.
Well, the Alliance also brings down Dranosh, and Sourfang shows up to claim the body of his son.
Don't force me hand, orc. We can't let you pass.
Behind you lies the body of my only son. Nothing will keep me from him.
I can't do it. Get back on your ship and we'll spare your life.
Stand down, Muradin. Let a grieving father pass.
No Ko kills Ilnok, Hatar. I will not forget this kindness. I thank you, Highness.
I was not at the Wrathgate, but the soldiers who survived told me much of what happened. Your son fought with honor. He died a hero's death. He deserves a hero's burial.
Quite a change from the variant that we saw in the Undercity. Respect is shown on both sides, and apparently Saurfang now moves out to honor his son in their grounds. He would return to Northrend though, to stay behind in Warsong Hold after the victory over the Lich King, and command a skeleton force left behind by Garrosh. Hellscream doesn't anticipate that they'll have need of them, since the Warsong Offensive, it had crushed the Scourge and taken the fighting spirit out of the rest of their enemies, as they had come to do. It is his belief that his former advisor will sit and watch spiders spin cobwebs, and fully enjoy the peace that he so obviously craves. Garen Bloodhoof had also made the journey to Northrend. He was part of this conversation, and he bridled on Saurfang's behalf. After what the old orc had endured, losing his son and all, Garrus's words were particularly harsh. Saurfang, however, he'd clearly grown used to Garrus's attitude, and he merely grunted. "We have both done our duties. We serve the Horde. If I serve by watching little spiders instead of fighting large ones, then I am content." After the ships are loaded and ready to go, Garen says farewell to Saurfang. Garrosh might have joked about peace and quiet, of remaining up here with but a skeleton crew, but the reality would be something else. And there would likely be ghosts aplenty to hunt Saurfang, if only his memories. Garen knew that, and as he looked into Saurfang's eyes, he knew that the orc knew it too. Garen wanted to thank him again, to offer encouragement, praise for a task so successfully completed, for being able to bear such burdens, but Saurfang was an orc, not a blood elf, and lavished compliments and effusion that would not be welcomed or wanted.
"For the Horde,"
Garen said.
"For the Horde,"
Saurfang replied, and it was enough. He stayed behind in Northrend, where he had lost so very much, while Garen and Garrosh, they travel back home, and the events of the Cataclysm played out. Garrosh was appointed Warchief by Thrall, while the Shaman himself went out to try and heal the world. Garen and Garrosh, they ended up in Makkura, a duel to the death, where the old bull died betrayed, and his son Bane, he took up leadership of the Tauren. It seems like his time spent with Saurfang, it does have a massive impact on Garrosh. A good example of this can be found in the Stone Teller Mountains, where Overlord Krumgar decides that it's a good idea to drop a bomb on Tal'Dorei Grove. This is a place of peace and learning, but the orc believes that they used the location to create a weapon of mass destruction that would be used against the Hordes. High Chieftain Cliff Walker tries to persuade him not to go through with it, but Krumgar believes that he is carrying out the will of the Warchief, carrying out Garrosh's commands.
"My command was my command to murder innocents, Krumgar."
"War Chief! Sir, I..."
"Am I a murderer, Krumgar?"
"No, War Chief!"
"Then I ask you again, what have you done? I sent you into Stone Talon Mountains with an army. Your orders were to secure this land for the Horde. Instead, you laid waste to the land, murdered innocents, children even. I spent a very long time in Northrend, Krumgar. I learned much about the Horde in that time. While there, a wise old war hero told me something that I would carry with me forever. Honor, Krumgar. No matter how dire the battle, never forsake it. Overlord Krumgar, you have disgraced the Horde. You have brought shame to us as a people. By my right as War Chief, I hereby relieve you of duty. You are dismissed!"
Krumgar is dismissed and thrown off the edge. Sadly though, this Garrosh wouldn't last for very long, but that's the story we're going to save for next week, since we still have quite a lot to talk about when it comes to Saurfang's story. So for now, thank you very much for watching everyone, and until next time guys, see ya!
Always ready for a pug again. Cue up that raid again. It's all the same. I'm always always ready to make it all again. I level up again, it's all the same. Tell me who's gonna save me from this curse when this game is all I know. Tell me who's gonna get the invite first. Without you, I'm all alone. Who's gonna play with me? Join the queue with me. PvP with me. I need a friend to see. So will you join the crew? And help me win the loot. Can I play this game with you? Hey, I fight the blue, I fight gold, I fight myself. Fight boredom, just tell me how many friends are left. Fight tanks, DPS, the healers wept. I'm trying to keep this group, but all the healers left. I hate LFR, swarms of ads pulled to me. DPS AFK, raging text from the raid lead. Raid's dead, got a link sent in embrace. The dumb one is Jack, he's running in place. Who need a hero?
Hero.
I need a hero, look in Discord, where's my hero? Who wants to help me and do this quest though?
Hero.
My heart don't skip a beat, but no one will whisper me though. Spec destruction, priest corruption, the groups are life again. Beating on the boss again, completion coming, but it never lasts. Sooner or later, I'm back to square one with no one to play
Who's
with.
Who's gonna play with me?
Join the queue with me. PvP with me. I need a friend to see. So will you join my crew and help me win the loot? Can I play this game with you? Hey. Join the queue with me, PvP with me. I need a friend to see. So will you join the group and help me win the loot? Can I play this game with you?
Once my friends come online, we'll have lots of fun. We'll have lots of fun. We'll have lots of fun. Once my friends come online, we'll have lots of fun. We'll have lots of fun. We'll have lots of fun.
That was Cavo 350 with Play With Me. Next up, we have an issue. We have the problem with priests was slightly impressive. Obviously, we know that Forsaken don't really like the light, so priests and the light and so forth. Anyway, you'll see what I mean, or you'll hear it in a couple of minutes. He was slightly impressive. The problem with priests.
Pain, shield, death.
Dude, would you put a sock in it? It's distracting.
That's how some of my spells work. I say a certain power word or shadow word like pain.
Oh.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, we're gonna need a healer for this next quest. You up for it?
Oh, I'm not that kind of priest, sorry.
Just try it, man.
But I'm a Forsaken Shadow Priest. I inflict fear and suffering through shadow magic. I sear and flay people's minds. I vampirically touch them.
Well, just do all of that, but backwards.
That's not how it works.
Come on, my cousin Bob is a priest, and he can heal just fine.
I'm undead. The holy light burns me. It would be excruciating to cast healing spells with it.
Look, if you're gonna show up to the fight in a dress and slippers, the least you can do is help keep the rest of us alive.
Fine. Ow! Ow! Ow!
I need the heals.
Oh, it burns!
We're gonna wipe.
It's okay. I think I can heal a bunch if I sing a song.
Well, do it then.
Okay, we're healing and everyone's gonna survive and not die. Ow! Ow! Ow!
Nice.
Great job. We got him.
This is going to be the death of me.
Oh.
Oops.
Grinding on Argus to win this for days. Cause I had no idea we needed Rapia for our allied race. Yeah, invasion is up, beacon that go. Killing all the rares on the way. Exo in the invasion on 0%. Here we go again. Got the life force and that void up on my mind. All that's between us are the numbers for this grind. Some time. I've done this one quest 1, 2, 3, 4,000 times. My soul belongs to August. I'm turning every red dot. We're talking tax on a Vindicar. Cruising through the stars. Haven't the Legion weakened yet? Haven't we cleared this mess? Devoid of light, no purity. On A-I-G-U-S. On A-I-G-U-S. Once gifted with magic, now so chaotic. August is twisted up. We're choosing our targets where they least expected. A beacon in the dark. Warframe is up, I'm a diva. Stronger than a titan in my armor by far. Feel grand like the army, like fresh and holy. Here we go again. Alaria leads us to see up the triumvirate. That place inside my head. On A-I-G-U-S. Where you'll find me grinding rap. On A-I-G-U-S. It's just rap. Got the life force and that void up on my mind. All that's between us are the numbers for this grind. Is this some dedication? Patient
That was Charm with On Argus.
It is time to end this charade!
Well, darlings, that brings us to the end of our episode. Many, many thanks to all of our contributors and musicians who contributed this episode. I certainly do hope that you enjoyed your time with the Forsaken of Corpse Run Radio.
As do I, obviously. And it's nice to hear Juno again. Okay, so episode 38 has come to an end. I would like to thank the following contributors. Hazel from Hazelnut Games, Silver Latomi, Ember Assaulty and Siren, Noble 87, Cavo 350, Slightly Impressive, Charm, and our last song for today is going to be Eat Us Alive by Songhammer. So like Juno said, and I can totally agree with her, I hope you've enjoyed this episode and I hope that you'll be back for episode 39. Have a great time, and until then, bye everyone. Here is Songhammer.
Man, this dude's a total troll.
Kill him to death.
All right, I'm gonna gank him now.
Do it!
Done!
Yeah!
Whoa, 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 whoa! I got a bogey on my six!
Whoa, she looks tough.
Dude, she looks really tough.
Looks like it's time for some PvP.
Yeah!
Corpse Run Radio is a non-profit World of Warcraft fan podcast. All music and sound effects are used with permission.
I have no time for games.
Aw, come on, Sylvanas.
Thank you for listening. Now go out, my minions. Let nothing stand in your way. Until next time.